This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's episode of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visit Anderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home of the greatest professional fishermen in the world, and the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket event leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Well, the elites are on Cayuga Lake this week at the Site 1 Bassmaster Elite, but what a story it was last week as Micah Fazier came storming through the field from 10th place on Championship Sunday to snatch the win from Canadian favorite Chris Johnston at the Berkeley Fishing Bassmaster Elite on the St. Lawrence River, presented by Black Velvet. It wasn't for a lack of trying on Johnston's part. He had over 20 pounds on the final day, but Fazier put together a massive 25-pound bag of smallies. Now, I caught up with Fazier while he was on the water at Cayuga in practice earlier this week, and he's coming up later on in the winner's circle. And by the way, I am from the Finger Lakes, and we always called it Cayuga, although many from outside the region refer to it as Cayuga. Well, we'll have a full report on Cayuga or Cayuga next week. Also on today's show, Ronnie Moore from Bassmaster Live on the season and the AOI race, led by Alabamian Scott Canterbury, who was third at the St. Lawrence. But in the leadoff role, Bass Times editor Brian Brasher pulls back the curtain on the members-only publication that is Bass Times. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a New York State of Mind edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And as I said, kicking things off with Brian Brasher. He's the editor of Bass Times Magazine. And if you don't get Bass Times, it's because you're not a member of BASS. This is an exclusive benefit of members of BASS. And let me tell you something. It is outstanding. Every bit as good as Bassmaster Magazine is Bass Times. And I look forward to that as much as I look forward to the magazine each and every week. And Brian, or each and every month, I should say. And Brian joins us now. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Am I lying about that? You got to be a member. I've been a lifetime member since 1981. So I got the first Bass Times that ever came out. But you have to be a member to be getting Bass Times. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And you said it, what you said about it being as good as Bassmaster. I'm a huge Bassmaster fan, obviously. I work in the same office with James Hall. And I think it's the best outdoor publication in the country. I like to think Bass Times is a very, very, very close second. So I really appreciate that compliment.
Well, and a lot of different things that are coming out of Bass Times that you won't find necessarily in your Bassmaster magazine. I think that's part of the point. It's more timely in terms of tournament coverage. And I always like the anecdotes. And I cover the tournaments. I'm there at a lot of the tournaments. I'm fishing the Eastern Open, so I kind of know what's going on. Yet I always find these little nuggets in the sidebar stories to each and every tournament that are fascinating. I think the team out there covering these tournaments do a great job on covering those.
Well, we're really making an effort towards shifting Bass Times into sort of a pro tour journal. Recording those moments, those anecdotes that you're talking about, not only within our tournament coverage, we've expanded that and made it easier to figure out which lure which guy used to do well in each tournament. But you know, the fell out of the boat, or, you know, something came unhinged. You know, the little things that happen that maybe don't get reported tournament week, we have a chance to flesh that out a little bit, and we're really having some fun with it. And I hope people enjoy it. We make it, you know, quick hit stuff, easy to read, easy for the reader to digest. And hopefully we can find more and more of that as we move forward. That's the goal for sure.
Yeah, and you know, the other part of it is, and I know everything is available out there on the internet now, and you can search stuff and so on and so forth, but I keep every one. I have a shelf full of my Bass Times, and I go back and I look at them on tournaments, you know, old ones from tournaments that I'm fishing coming up, whether it's a local deal or a regional deal or a you know, or an open, you know what I mean? And I love going back and reading those stories and kind of getting those nuggets that you can find out. So it has that value as well to just kind of figure out, you know, what was it that they were doing the last time they were there?
Well, it's very much like keeping your own fishing journal. And I know so many people, my uncle keeps a spiral notebook with every detail of every trip that he takes. Now, if you got a stack of Bass Times sitting on your shelf at home, it serves very much the same purpose. You can go back and see, you know, what happened the last time we were on the St. Lawrence River in 2015, or what happened the last time we went to St. John's River. It serves that purpose, and I hope people are using it that way. I think that's the value of print media versus some of the digital stuff these days. You can get it right there. You can pull it out. You can take it anywhere with you, and it's still very valuable from that standpoint.
Brian Brasher with us, editor of Bass Times. The other really important service that Bass Times takes care of for us is all the nation news and the conservation news. And I love seeing what the kids are doing out there at the grassroots level, which is a really cool thing as well. And I know that they get a kick out of being, you know, having that coverage as well.
Sure, and it's one step keeping as far as the conversation, you know, the conservation you're talking about. No, maybe you're not going to go and seek out an article about what's going on in California and Nevada. But if I send it to your house and it's right there at your fingertips, maybe you will take note, and maybe you'll understand. I mean, as a fishing community, we are one. We need to worry about other people's problems because they're going to end up in our backyard eventually. So from a conservation standpoint, I think we do serve a very valuable purpose there. Then with the nation, college, high school, and the nation itself, people want to see their names in print. They want to get their due. They deserve it. And boy, mamas and daddies and grandfathers and grandmothers scoop those things up just to see what their youngsters have done. And, you know, the nation section certainly serves that purpose. So we enjoy that. And that's something else that we intend to expand as we move forward in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Brasher with us. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's going on so far with, of course, the boys are on Cayuga as we speak right now, but after that, two more big events. Of course, that one at Fort Gibson, I think, is a game changer in terms of this AOI race that's now led by Scott Canterbury out of Middle Alabama, but all kinds of different names on this list and all kinds of different names on the Elite Tour this year. And dare I say, this has been incredible. I mean, what a great season to cover that this has been. The crowds are as big or bigger than ever out at the events. And seeing, you know, guys come out of eighth place like Rick Klun did at week one at the St. John's River, and then this past week at the St. Lawrence for the second time in the last couple of tournaments, we see a guy come out of the 10-hole, the final qualifier, to sneak in on Championship Sunday, wins the entire tournament. Look, you couldn't script this stuff. If you're a writer, you couldn't write this story.
Yeah, I have people ask me on Championship Sunday, who are you picking? Who are you thinking? It's usually that they want me to pick one of the top two or three. I'm like, I'm picking all of them. I mean, if you've looked at the results from this year, they're all in there. I mean, it's watching Jamie Hartman come from 10th on Gunnersville was flat out amazing. Watching Michael Frazier do the same thing on the St. Lawrence River, unbelievable. Rick Klun, I've run out of adjectives to describe what he's done the last couple of times we've been to the St. John's River. So that was what it was. It was certainly a great start for the Elite Series this season. But it has been. It's been every tournament. There's been some kind of storyline like that. You know, everybody, I think, going into the St. Lawrence River with it being on the Canadian border and the Johnston brothers being so strong up in that neck of the woods, just assumed that one of them was going to win that event. And I talked to Chris a couple of weeks before that event, and he said, hey, with this field, you don't assume anything. You know, we're not going to go in and just walk away with a victory because we know the area. And as it turned out, Chris had a very good tournament. Corey had some mechanical issues. Chris had a very good tournament, didn't get a win. Mike, who's been at it for a while with the Elite Series, came away with a win. So you just, boy, if you're a diamond man and you're trying to bet on bass fishing, you are really, really walking up the rope. Because there are a lot of guys out there right now who can win.
Yeah, and you know it's coming for Chris. I mean, here's a guy that twice has been, you know, leading the Derby going into the final day, and he got boat raced by a 35-pound bag at the St. Lawrence or at the St. John's River, and then at the St. Lawrence it was a 25-pound bag. I mean, it took a lot to catch him and pass him. This wasn't him choking or folding or his fish going away. This was in both cases a guy tracking him down and just with a huge lifetime, a bag of a lifetime to beat Chris Johnston.
Well, think about how close Chris Zaldane has been. he's been in the driver's seat a couple of times this year as well. There are so many fishermen out there. I feel like I can go out and have a pretty good one-day tournament under the right circumstances. Maybe even 2 days. But to go out and do it for 4 days at an Elite Series event, that separates, I won't say the men from the boys, but certainly the pros from the rest of us.
Yeah, and I know that the fans have enjoyed getting to know a lot of these personalities that we didn't know so much before. And
guys, been fun.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Seth Fider and Chris Zaldane and the new guys and the personalities that we have seen on tour. It's been really something. It's been an energizing year, I think, for the tour, and it's been really, really good. And I'm not throwing any shade at anybody else that's out there fishing anywhere else. I'm just saying this group of guys, it just shows you how deep and how much talent is out there. And I know this from fishing the opens, that there are a lot of dudes out there that are sticks.
Sure. And I'll take our guys against anybody. Yeah. I will. Scott Canterbury is a guy we haven't mentioned a whole lot. He's leading the Angler of the Year race going into the Cayuga event. He is an absolute hammer. He grew up 15 minutes from me. We worked in the same industry together for 20 years and hadn't met until recently. I've gotten to know him a little bit, gotten to know his family a little bit. They're fantastic people. And, yeah, man, he is 100%. When he's not watching Alabama football, he's thinking fishing.
Yeah.
Those are his two things.
Yeah, those are two pretty. And those
I
are
can
two.
Respect that.
Yeah, I can really say those are two pretty good things, too, as well. Brian Brasher has been our guest. Brian, keep up the great work with Bass Times. We appreciate you so much. It's going to be an exciting finish to the season here.
Man, you do the same. Let's talk again before it's over. And anything you need from me, let me know, okay?
All right, we will do that. No doubt about it. That's Brian Brasher from Bass Times Magazine. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Ronnie Moore from Bassmaster Live. Get his thoughts on this AOI race next, right here, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster Live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And now joining us from Bassmaster Live, the one and only Ronnie Moore. I like this guy because he's always got the numbers out there, the calculations. He's given us the detail and everything that we need to know about the AOI now with three events to go. And he joins us now. Ronnie, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Tom. Thank you for the wake-up call and the wonderful conversation we're going to have about bass fishing. I'm down to talk to anybody about the Bassmaster Elite Series anytime, so it's always good. It's always refreshing.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You know, and we're going to have Micah Frazier on coming up in the next segment, and he gets the win, just like Jamie Hartman coming out of the 10 hole. And, you know, there was a time in NASCAR where people said they couldn't believe it because they said this must be rigged. They must be scripting this. I don't know how you could possibly script it in bass fishing, though, because these huge final day bags and guys coming out of 10th place, the final qualifying spot for Championship Sunday to win. But, again, from week one with the Rick Klun win to these two guys coming out of 10th place to win to the incredible Texas Fest, this has been the most amazing season of Bassmaster Elite Fishing that I think we've ever seen.
I was going to pose that to people who follow me on Instagram and social media and say, which win have you enjoyed the most? Because you got, like you said, three big comebacks, because Klun was an ace, like 13 pounds behind.
Right.
Then you have the two 10th place comebacks. You've got the Century Club win at Fort. You've got Cobb winning on his home lake, with a fun final day and some awesome visuals of top water. You got Stetson Blaylock outlasting the guys who made the long run at Winyah Bay. And then Paul Mueller, just showing why he's one of the best electronic fishermen in the game. Him and Chris Valdez duking out on the final day at Lanier. I mean, that was just an amazing spotted bass flair that we don't normally get. So, no, it's been a fantastic season. It's hard to pick. And, man, there hasn't been a single event this year where I'm like, they're not catching them as good as I hope they would. You know, the weights have stacked up really, really good. And, you know, that one was on par. You know, it was a little different time of the year for the St. Lawrence, but Michael Frazier's win coming out of the 10 spot was just fantastic for that final day.
My fantasy team was terrible, but my weight prediction was good. I was just under, I was at 89 pounds and change for the win, and I think it was 87 plus somewhere in there. But, you know, the expectation was that the Canadian guys and Chris Johnson would be horses, and he was a horse the whole way and carried the pressure of Canada, the fishing community in Canada, kind of pulling for him on that last day. But it took a 25-pound bag to take him down, and as folks are listening to this, they're all on Cayuga Lake right now, and I expect that same group of guys are going to be very, very competitive on net water as well.
I think we're going to see some mix-up and some different kind of anglers. I think, you know, that milfoil, largemouth aspect, Cayuga has smallmouth as well, but they've been so, not finicky, but like, I'm not even going to say unreliable. I don't know the word for it. But
unreliable is a good word. I grew up on that. Like, unreliable is a word. I mean, you just run into them when you run into them, but you can't pattern them. You can't pattern them the way you can pattern those largemouth there.
Yeah, and so I think we'll see a little bit of southern flair. Some of those New Yorkers are definitely like that, but, you know, like Seth Fider, he's not a southern guy, but from Minnesota, loves milfoil. You know, we've seen different techniques play in the past. We've seen jerkbaits work. We've seen dock fishing. We've seen wacky rigs. We've seen chatterbaits. So I think Cayuga's going to be great. And, you know, that place we talk about, the St. Lawrence gets better and better, and Oneida with the Gobies getting better and better. But Cayuga can be different because, you know, like, it's 350, 400 feet deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get that heavy south wind, even though a south wind normally like brings in warm air and whatnot, that south wind will just stack up those waves from the south end of the lake and just kind of roll that really cool water all the way up to the north end where all that grass is, and it just ends up changing the water temp crazy. So I think there's a lot of aspects of Cayuga, but I could see like a Matt Heron. I think this could be a great Bill Lowen event, which you know, he's now a big-time factor in the Angler of the Year race. And so I think that Cayuga's going to be fantastic. And, you know, we talked about the weight predictions at St. Lawrence. It's so hard. People are like, oh, man, what's the deal? Like, they didn't bust 94, 95. It's a special fishery, even when you hit 88 pounds.
Yeah.
It just takes a perfect storm to get it to that 94, 95, maybe possibly century mark. It just takes a perfect storm. And for the guys last week, you know, there was fish in so many stages. The water was higher right before they got there. It had fallen, you know, during practice, but it was higher. Fish were spread out. And, you know, but I think we got perfect weather for it. The wind was low. We got 2 days of sun, 2 days of clouds. And I think it really showed all the different techniques that you can catch them on, you know, equally well.
Well, the story isn't 88 pounds to win. The story is how many bags there were between, say, 60, 65 pounds and 88 pounds. I mean, that was the thing. It's like, I think everybody, if you didn't have a 4-pound average, you didn't have anything. And, you know, yeah, maybe it's not Lake Fork where you've got, you know, 8 and 10-pound largemouth, but there were so many 4 to 6-pound bass caught. It was amazing.
It was indeed. And I think that's one thing that that will always be at the St. Lawrence River. We talked about Mille Lacs and how great of a fishery it was back when we went there and just wowed the world with the smallmouth weights. The St. Lawrence River, you could fish that place every single day with the whole elite field for 2-3 months, and there's still fish that, you know, that you'll never catch in, you know, in your whole lifetime, even if you fish there a long time. So that's the one thing about the St. Lawrence is the quality's there with other fisheries like St. Clair, like some of these other places, but it's just so vast that there's fish that are growing up that will never see a bait until they're 10-year-old bass. And so it's very interesting. And I think that we talk about the comebacks from 10th place and whatnot. And they're like, wow, what's happening? These leaders are choking on the final day. Matt Airy at Gunnersville had like 16 pounds, you know, and then, you know, Hartman's only 7 pounds back. I think a lot of these guys fish differently when they're not sure if they can win. Now, Michael Frazier went out on the final day thinking he could still win because 410 is no big deal to overcome. But on a place where everyone's catching 22 pounds, that just means, wow, I've got to go catch the biggest bag of the event. And that's what he did. But, you know, it's the comebacks are allowed to happen now because you used to sneak into the top 10 and you were totally on a different planet quality-wise than the leaders. You know, you snuck in and you were 10, 12, 14 pounds back because you were just fishing a different part of the lake on a different size bass. But now you've got to be so dialed in just to make the top 10 that you know what you're doing and you're going to be there to compete. And even, you know, Chris Johnston losing the first event of the year. Chris Johnston is now led going into the final day twice this year and has just gotten beat. He didn't lose. He just got beat because he's caught 18 pounds, I believe, on the final day at the St. John's. And he caught 20 pounds at St. Lawrence and lost both times, Rick Klun and Michael Frazier. But he didn't lose. He just got beat because he did his job and caught a pretty good bag for the final day.
Yeah, 20 pounds is not choking from the lead. I mean, you know, 20-pound bag, almost 21-pound bag, that's not choking from the lead for sure. Ronnie Moore with us from Bassmaster Live. All right, final few minutes. Let's take a look at the standings now in the AOI with the three events to go. Scott Canterbury now taking a pretty decent lead. He's been so good. He was third at this event at Alabama Pro. 17-point lead now over Bill Lowen at 572. And then it gets really jumbled up and, you know, Corey Johnston, Chris Zeldane, Stetson Blaylock, all with 555. Drew Benton, Micah Frazier's now moved into 10th place. How deep do you think we go with three events to go right now? How far down the list do you think we go where we still got contenders?
I don't know off the top of my head where Fighter is points backwise. I know he's in the top 12. I think he's like 11th and Matt Airy's 12th in points. If that point gap is less than 50 back to them, they're still in contention because for someone like Fighter, Cayuga's going to be up his alley.
Yeah.
For Gibson, he's a grinder. He's done well in those shallow events before, and he fishes differently. He knows how to close out some of these things. I think Fighter is somebody that we haven't seen or heard from a bunch this year, but has been rock solid. So I think Cayuga could be great for Fighter. You know, Ford Gibson could be a tough one for all the guys. You know, Scott Canterbury's got wins in the pre-spawn in the Ozark region of the country, you know, over the, you know, Beaver Lake, you know, which isn't too far from Fort Gibson.
But that's the wild card, isn't it?
You know,
don't you feel like that's the wild card of this thing? I mean, you know, the AOI championship will be one thing. Fighter, by the way, 43 points back, so he's still within shouting range. That takes it down to 11.
Yeah.
But the wild card to this whole thing really is Fort Gibson, because that's the thing. We don't go to Fort Gibson in September normally, so this is a kind of a different time of year to do that, and I think that's the one that's going to travel and everything else. I think that's the one that's going to separate this deal.
100%. But I also think, hey, Scott Canterbury proved he can catch smallmouth St. Lawrence. He's fished St. Clair before with the FLW Tour. He knows smallmouth, and I'm not going to say, oh, this is the event he's going to trip up. But like we've seen with leaders this year, they don't have to trip up on the final day just to lose that lead. If you get Fighter in contention or Zaldane or somebody like that really close, less than 10 points or 10 to 15 points behind going into St. Clair, that could really be a big deal because normally we see, oh, we have a 110-person field. When they cut it to AOI and it's only 50, are they really, you know, you can't make up that much ground because
right.
50 people is only 50 people. Well, with an Elite Series field of 75, going down to 50, no big deal. Like, it's almost the same points gap that you're trying to make up on day one and day two. So I think St. Clair is going to be really interesting depending on how many people are in that race. We could have a five. I said at the beginning of the year, with the field that we have and the size field, it could be a 5-6 horse race for AOI instead of a runaway or a two-person battle. It could be five people still in it. And don't count out Drew Cook. Drew Cook's a grinder from Florida. He knows grass. He's going to love Cayuga. It is vast, and he's not a great pre-fisherman. He says when he goes in pre-practices, it messes him up. So fishing with an open mind and fresh feelings at Cayuga, Drew Cook's still right there, I believe, in third, and he's got a chance to make up some ground. He's getting a lot of new experiences this year.
You know,
he's fished his second full smallmouth tournament this past week. So we're judging 12, 13-year pros against the guy who's fishing his second smallmouth event. So to finish 35th for him and make the cut is pretty stout. But some of those guys, Bill Lowen, Drew Cook, they're not going to be slouches in the last couple. And you got to remember, if you fish the Bassmaster Opens, either division, any division, you're ready for Fort Gibson.
Yeah.
Because you fished the Centrals, you fished Grand in the fall, you fished Fort Gibson in the fall, you fished some of these, you fished Smith in the fall, some of those tough ones. And then for the Easterns, Douglas in the fall is very tough. So if you've qualified from the Opens before, you know fishing in September can be very tough. because you fished similar Highland fisheries in the fall time. So
right.
those guys that have qualified in the years past are ready for it.
Ronnie Noir has been our guest, breaking it down for us on the AOA. Ronnie, I appreciate you so much. We're watching you again.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And as I said in the open, for the second time in this incredible season, a guy came out of 10th place, the last qualifier on Championship Sunday to win the tournament. He did it the way Jamie Hartman did it. And ironically, Jamie Hartman's from upstate New York, and that's where Micah Frazier got it done, on the St. Lawrence River with a huge bag on the final day to win the tournament. His first win on the Elite Series. He's been fishing the Elites for a few years now, but what a win for him, and he joins us now. Micah, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's just talk about this a little bit. First of all, going, you're Georgia boy, you know what I mean? So it's not a lot of smallmouth action going on, you know, the fishing deep water with Ned rigs and things like that. So what was your level of confidence going in there? Because you had been up there. You were up there last year for the Elite as well. But what was your level of confidence going into this one?
It was pretty high. I mean, I actually, it's not very often you get to go into a tournament and you know exactly what you want to throw before you get there. And you know, last year we were up here, and day one I'm out there throwing a drop shot, and I caught 18 pounds or so, but I really struggled to catch them. And I knew I was around a lot of big fish. And the next day I made an adjustment and I started throwing that Ned bait, and it was like a game changer. I caught 23-14 that day, and all on a Ned rig. The next day I caught 21.5, and that's kind of what I was left with leaving the St. Lawrence last year. So I was kind of itching to get back up here and kind of expand on that deal that I'd gotten a lot of confidence in, and was able to get in an area that had a lot of big fish, and that bait, in my opinion, is about as good as it gets for doing that style of fishing up there.
Now, was this a spot that you had in your GPS from last year, or was this a pattern that you were looking for, a certain kind of condition?
No, this was just a totally different area than I fished last year. I actually spent a whole first day of practice trying to catch them in that same exact area, and I really couldn't get anything going. And I was it was probably 10 miles north of where, or up or downstream of where I've caught them last year. And it's just one of them weird things. There's always seems to be a section of a lake or a section of a river that, for whatever reason, has got it's kind of the place to be, and that's what you want to try to do is land in that section of the lake or the river. And I was fortunate enough to get to do that. And and it's crazy. You look around and you see a lot of the other guys that are doing well, you know, that come from that area, and it just gives you confidence because you see lots of other top 10 guys, and you know, you don't have any doubt. You can be confident in what you're doing, knowing that you're in the right area of the lake doing the right thing, and that's really just, that was the key to it. You know, I being in 10th place that last day, I really didn't have any concerns or worries. I was not expecting to win. I didn't really think I had much of a chance, and so I just went out there and went fishing and was able to have one of the best days of bass fishing I've ever had. I mean, I caught a lot of big fish and had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, a lot of guys, when they catch them, they'll eyeball them and they'll throw them in there. Yeah, that's a 3-pounder, that's a 4-pounder, and so on. Other guys are very precise. They weigh every fish so they know exactly where they're at. You had this 25-pound, 9-ounce bag to win by less than a pound, but did you have any idea? Did you look at it and you said, yeah, I got 25?
You know, I think Bass Track said 21 something. And I'm always
sandbagging
about undershooting on Bass Track, but yeah. You know, I always know that I'm low. I like to use that weight as a gauge, and I knew in my head that I had more than 21, and I knew it was my biggest bag of smallmouth I'd ever weighed. And I didn't know exactly what they weighed, but I did the math in my head a couple times, and I was coming up with like 24 and change at bare minimum weight, you know. And so I knew the possibility was there that I had 25, and, you know, it was just one of those special days that I'll never forget. And, you know, I don't get nervous that often, but I was pretty nervous. I probably didn't show it, but I caught a 6-pounder after I'd already had like 22 pounds in the boat. So that moment then, and I'd already ran into Chris Johnson on the water, and I knew he was kind of struggling a little bit when I talked to him.
Yeah.
So I thought started running through my head a little bit, but you know, it's just a crazy day.
Yeah, absolutely a crazy day. Now at Lake Lanier, which is a little closer to your home, you were 19th place there, but this has been an all or nothing kind of deal for you, it seems like, lately. I mean, you were 29th to start the season at the St. John's, and then you know, at the Classic, 46th, and then you jump up to third at Harwell, 42nd at Winya Bay, third at Texas Fest, 62nd in Guntersville, and then win this thing. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, figure out a way to finish like 12th once in a while, right? I mean, you are in the top 10 now in the AOI standings, but what a roller coaster season for you.
Yeah, that's just the way it is sometimes. I'd much rather be a guy that can win than a guy that's consistently getting checks or whatever. And, you know, I've always fished to try to get checks and make cuts. And I've been a consistent check casher, I would feel like, over the years. It's just, I've never been able to crack those top five finishes as frequently as some guys. And this year, you know, it's been a little bit different. I've had opportunities this year to win and finally was able to do that. And, you know, that the checks will come now, I think. But I'm more excited that I've won one and I've got that under my belt. And I can go out with confidence now that and know that I can win and I can finish up high, and I'm just as capable as anybody. And that's something that I've kind of lacked in the past, just because it's never happened, you know. And
no,
until you win, it's hard to imagine that happening to yourself. But I learned it last week that when it's your time, you really can't stop it. It's just, you know, I had the day I had on day four was one that you can't script. And you know, I felt like I could do no wrong. You know, everywhere I pulled up, I'd catch a 4-plus pounder. And, just unreal, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm thankful to be, you know, able to have those high finishes now and in the year I've had, even despite a few low finishes. I was fishing in ways I thought I needed to do well and make the top 10, and I just swung and missed.
Yeah, yeah. The 10th place now in the AOI standing, still three events to go, and kind of the wild card deal will be going back down there to Fort Gibson and seeing what happens there. But, of course, Cayuga Lake, now as folks are listening to this, you're on Cayuga Lake, hopefully still on Cayuga Lake, fishing the weekend and keeping it going. But let's go back to the St. Lawrence for a minute. Now, you were focusing on areas, you know, 18 to 40 feet deep, according to the story. That's like saying 1 to 20 feet deep. There's a big difference between 18 and 40 feet. But what is it that you were actually looking for that depth?
The reason for that is there was some depth, you know, some pretty drastic depth change around where I was fishing. So I was drifting across these shoals and high spots, and, you know, they would go from the main river bottom to, which is, you know, was 40, 50, 60 foot deep. I would start deep and fish and drift my way across these things, and as I drifted across them, of course, it would come up and get shallower, and then it would fall back off on the other end. And a lot of my bites would come on top of them in 15 to 18 foot of water, but some of my bites I'd get randomly would be in 40 foot before I'd get to the thing, you know, or on the backside after it's fallen off into the depths again. It's just that there was a lot of fish using these things as current breaks, and just, you know, I really couldn't predict where exactly I was going to get a bite. There's just a lot of fish around, and so I didn't limit myself to one depth range. I would just try to kind of draw a straight line and drift a line across these things and start deep, work my way shallow, and then fall back off deep again.
And so you were throwing this Yum Ned Dinger, which I don't even think is on the market yet, and a quarter ounce and 8-ounce mushroom head. You know, a quarter ounce, you know, even at 18 feet, much less 25 feet or something like that, how do you really get that sense of what's going on down there? They would think with all that current and everything else that bait would be blown all over the place.
Well, and it does. It's that's a fairly lightweight for that depth range. But what people don't understand is when you're drifting like that, there's so much current. Your boat is drifting at the same speed as your bait a lot of times. So if you could picture yourself on a lake in calm conditions, it wouldn't be that hard to drop a bait straight down on a quarter ounce head. Mm-hmm. So really and truly, when you're drifting at 1.5 miles an hour, you're dropping the bait straight down. The key to it is you just want your boat to move at the same pace as the water under you and the bait and your line. And I was actually, you know, before I would let my line down, when I would start a drift, I would get my boat moving backwards at the right pace. So when I dropped my bait down, I could actually follow it all the way to the bottom on my front graph, and it was moving at the same pace as the boat, you know, my bait, my line, everything was moving at the same pace, and it was straight vertically under the boat. So, yes, it was a lightweight, but that kind of allows me to put it down there, and it doesn't get bogged down in all the shells and all that. But as long as you know, conditions allowed you to drift naturally like that, that quarter ounce is plenty.
Yeah, Micah Frazier with us. All right, in our final couple of moments here, you've got one of the great non-endemic sponsors on the tour, the Coca-Cola wrap. I mean, that is a that is really cool. So here's my question: Coke Zero, Diet Coke, you know, like Vanilla Coke, Orange Coke, or Straight Coke, or Classic Coke? What kind of Coca-Cola do you drink?
I'm a Diet Coke guy, man.
Me too.
You know, and they've got a lot of other brands too that are really good, and I'm a big Powerade body armor guy here lately too. So, but yeah, it's been a big deal to have them on board, and I'm thankful for that. And that Coca-Cola logo gets a lot of attention, and that's been a cool thing to have that on the side of the boat.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier too about about making checks and so on, and of course everyone's making checks right now on the Elite Tour the way it was restructured. Yeah. You want to make those good checks? I understand that, but we opened up by saying you're the second guy to come out of 10th place to win. It happened on Gunnersville not too long ago with Jamie Hartman, but man, you can speak to this because you've been there through this transition. How cool has this season been? And these guys, not to take anything away from anybody else, but what a great group of elites, and what a fantastic season this has been, huh?
Oh, man, it's really – I've had more fun this year than I have in a long time. And, you know, we've got a really good group of guys, and everybody gets along, and we're just all a close-knit group of guys now. And it's just been a refreshing year to be on the Elite Series and just to – experience the new atmosphere that we have. And you know, we've got the Anderson family. It's been so great in this whole thing, and you know, they really treat us the way we should be treated, and I'm really thankful to be a part of it and be where I'm at. And you know, I said on stage that I thought about this a lot during the day, and I couldn't be more thankful to be on Bass, because it's having five big fish in your live well is one of the anybody that's a tournament fisherman knows that feeling. And you know, cruising into weigh-in, you leave a few minutes early, you want to get in there because you got them, you know. And that's a feeling that you just can't replace, and it's just none like it. And so I'm just extra thankful, you know, to be on the Elites now. And yeah, it's been cool.
25 pounds of smallmouth in a live well is pretty hard to beat. That is for sure. Micah Frazier has been our guest. Congratulations on the win. Good luck the rest of the way, and we really appreciate you, man.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's Micah Frazier joining us there. All right. Coming up next, Ronnie Moore is in. He's going to explain where we stand right now in the Angler of the Year standings and how many guys are really in it that could still win the Angler of the Year with three to go. We'll talk to Ronnie Moore next right here, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing, where individual elite winners will receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops. And one grand prize winner will win a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175 Pro XS. Plus, Fantasy Fishing winners who are Bass members, when they set their teams, will win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. You can sign up to play Fantasy Fishing at BassmasterFantasy.com. While you're there, why don't you click the Sweepstakes tab where you can sign up through November 30th for a chance to win a fishing trip with Bassmaster Elite Pro Jamie Hartman. Plus, the winner will receive a Nitro Z18 bass boat with a Mercury motor and fishing gear prize package worth over $40,000. Bass is also offering fishing fans a chance to win a Toyota Tacoma pickup truck in its Ultimate Tacoma Sweepstakes contest. The grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Toyota Tacoma TRD off-road truck with a genuine Toyota accessories package and other accessories packages with a total value of over $43,000. That contest runs through September 29th. You can find both of these sweepstakes at bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. Next up, it's the College Classic Bracket at Watts Bar Lake out of Spring City, Tennessee, August 27th through the 29th. Then the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open at Oneida Lake is September 5th through the 7th. The TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Eastern Regional is at Sebago Lake at Point Sebago, Maine, September 11th through the 13th. Then the BassPro.com Bassmaster Central Open at Grand Lake is September 12th through the 14th. The elites are back at it at the Cherokee Casino Tahlequah Bassmaster Elite at Fort Gibson Lake. That is coming up September 19th through the 22nd. And then the Toyota Bassmaster Angler of the Year Championship will set the field for the Classic and also crown a Angler of the Year. And that's coming up at Lake St. Clair out of Detroit, September 28th. Through October the 1st. Now, if you're interested in having a front row seat to an elite tournament, priority registration is now open for the Bassmaster Marshall program. Just visit bassmaster.com/elite for more information. And remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Plus, if you have any questions or a guest you'd like to hear or a technique featured in our Technique of the Week, just tweet it to us at Bassmaster and use the hashtag BassRadio, or hit the Facebook page at facebook.com/bass and leave us a comment. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.